Now I want us to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is a psalm written by King David. And I assume Paulo is going to speak on this tonight. Well, wonderful. I hope you have Spurgeon's notes on this. He did a wonderful job of explaining it. And so as we hear the Word of God read, always when we hear God's Word, we need to understand these are not suggestions. They're God's words. If it's in the form of a commandment, it's His commandment. You have searched me, Lord. It's talking about Yahweh. And you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. For you created in my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The Lord will add a blessing to this, his holy word.
Thank you, Dr. Richard. I want to thank you for your prayers while I went down to Brazil to visit my mom. It was a short trip, but really sweet. I really enjoyed it. And I brought with me some few more pounds, right? And also, I came back older and wiser, okay? Well, the first is true. The second one, you may be fooled by that. But anyways, it's good to be back. Despite the weather here, it was great weather down there, about 25 degrees. I wasn't complaining. I'm not complaining about here as well, you know. We praise God for what we get here. And we praise Him for the amazing place where we live. So as you heard, tonight we will be meditating here in Psalm 139. What a beautiful psalm that is. And we'll get to that in a minute here. But I want just to introduce the sermon to you here, talking about the greatness of our God, which is infinitely vast. His majesty and glory far exceed our ability to even grasp, to comprehend Him. Let's consider, for example, the size of the universe He has created. Scientists affirm that would take 500 billion years. You didn't hear that wrong. 500 billion years to journey around its perimeter traveling at the amazing speed of light, that is about 300,000 kilometers per hour. Isn't that fast? That's amazing, right? We cannot imagine that. So the sun size can hold 1 million planets of the size of the Earth. Isn't that impressive? Not only the numbers are astonishing, but also the way that all these stars and planets are set in place and in motion. And also the beautiful of all these, right? How beautiful the image for that is, as we see the stars at night and the moons and all that. So, a few years back, a couple years ago, during our family vacation in Little Lake in Saskatchewan, we had the chance to see a comet for the first time. The whole family was there, and that was the Neowise comet. I don't know if you guys remember it or not, right? At the same night, we saw the spaceship station coming by, right? It was really fast and cool. But anyway, the night was amazing. The stars were really beautiful. It was a bright night. And the comet, well, it was there, just sitting there, you know, standing still. And I wasn't impressed by it, to be honest with you. You know, like, I thought that I would see something cooler. But anyway, I went and I did the research on it. And here are what the science have figured out about a little comet. It was about 103 million kilometers from Earth. Okay? So it travels 600 kilometers per second. So imagine you going from Cochrane to Camor in 1 second. There you go. You have been done that a few times now, right? Anyway, or 231,000 kilometers per hour. So almost the speed of light there. Even though it was traveling that speed, it looked like it was just sitting there. That comet was about 3 miles or 5 kilometers in diameter. There was about 13 million Olympic swimming size pools of water inside it. So, oh wow, that's impressive. So, and do not worry if you missed it. It will come back for another visit in about 6,800 years, right? So it's coming, one day it will come back. But anyway, you must be thinking, why in the world is he sharing all this information with us? Why is this relevant? And I hope you get that the answer for those questions as we go. So Psalm 139, as Dr. Richard mentioned, was written by David. It is a wisdom psalm. It reveals his awe and astonishment as he felt towards God who created the vast galaxies, the heavens and the earth, and yet deeply, deeply knew him and each one of us so intimately from the inside out. This beautiful psalm describes some of the most incomparable attributes of God, like he is all-knowing, he is all-present, and he is an all-powerful God. So we will briefly mention these attributes here. We'll take a quick look on them. But towards the Bible, it describes those attributes deeply. And I want to encourage you to do your search, do your research, and study about them. The first attribute that he's talking about from verses 1 to 6 there, he described God's omniscience. He realized that nothing in his life was hidden from God. The word search on verse 1 means to explore, to dig and go deeply into. God does not only search us, but he knows us. Every single part of our body, every single detail of our body. And we'll talk about that on more details soon here. The sentence, "you know me," here on this psalm comes from the Hebrew word yada, that means know intimately, experientially. You know me thoroughly, my character, my being, my heart. God does not only knows us, but he also cares for us. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Yeah. He's talking about each one of us. God knows all those details about us. So, don't be afraid, Jesus said, because you are worth more than any sparrows. Right? And we can rely on God for everything, and we can absolutely bring everything into his presence. It does not matter how big our issues are, how desperate we are, how hard our financial problems are, if we have relationship problems, health problems, lack of work, or if you have work problems, you name it. You can bring any of those to God's presence. As 1 Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." In Psalm 34:10, reminds us that God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I am in control of your life. I'm in control of everything around you. Everything you see in this universe, all the galaxies. Yes, I am in control." In the same, David affirmed in a beautiful declaration in Psalm 56, "You keep track of all my sorrows, Lord. You have collected all my tears into your bottle. You have recorded each one of them in your book." That's how our God loves us and how deeply he cares for each one of us. Doesn't that amaze you? So the second attribute from verses 7 to 12, he goes and affirms that God is all present. David understood God's omnipresence, and this is the second attribute described by him, as I said. He could never escape from his divine creator's presence. If we go up to heavens, God is there. If we take a ride on the new ice comet, or even swim in that big swimming pool inside it, God is there. His presence can be felt there. If we make our bed in the depths of the earth, the other extreme, God is there. If you hide ourselves in the most darkest place, God is also there. As David says, "Even the darkness will not be dark for you." Where can I go from God's Spirit? Nowhere. Where can I flee from God's presence? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And if there's a place yet to be discovered by us, guess what? God will be there, because it will not be a new place for him. Or the third attribute, from verses 13 to 16. He described God's in his omnipotence. God's all-powerful. he knew and recognized that our God is the all-powerful God. He had made him skillfully in his mother's womb. God created him, his inmost being. Kidneys, bones, heart, livers, lungs, even his emotions and moral sensitivities. This amazing work of our Creator God was done inside his mother's womb, and it started 9 months before he was born. On verse 14, he says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And here, I shared some impressive numbers about the universe. Now, here are some impressive numbers about us inside this body. Okay, we have only about 60 trillion cells in our bodies. 160,000 kilometers or 100,000 miles of nerve fiber. Okay, 100,000 kilometers of vessels carrying our blood. 250 bones, joints, ligaments, muscles, and the list goes on and on. And the more we think about the marvels of the human body, its design, its complexity, its beauty, its instincts, its intelligence, its capability to create and develop amazing things, when we see all these details, I wonder, how can anyone fail to be a believer in an infinite creator? Have you ever wondered about that? If you, like me, were impressed by the details of the comet, of that comet, here's the first point I want you to take with you today. God made all this infinite universe, infinite for us, yet very finite for Him. But the masterpiece of His creation is you. The masterpiece of God's creation, it's you and me. Our infinite God is infinitely aware of you. He designed and created you. You are unique. I said this once here, from all people who lived and all the ones who live in this earth now, about what, 8 billion people. There wasn't, there isn't, and there will never be someone unique as you are. Even identical twins or triplets, right, are uniquely different. The Almighty God knows absolutely everything about you, me, and all people on the earth. So, not only that, but He knows their past, their future, their present, their thoughts, their words, even before they say them, and more, in all different languages and accents. So, I want you to say to yourself tonight, I am God's masterpiece creation. Amen? Can you say that? I am a masterpiece of God's creation. So, here's the second point that I want you to make sure that you understand. Our God loves you so much. And, you know, in our limitations, we normally hear someone saying, I love you to the moon and back. That's romantic, right? But it's kind of very finite, right? You know, like, we can even measure that. But no, God's love for you and me cannot be measured. He loves you so much. But the beautiful thing is that He'll never force us to have an intimate relationship with Him. He cannot do that, because He'll be denying Himself by doing that. Right? He created us with a free will so we can decide and live to love Him. He wants us to love and obey Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. And that's the choice that you need to make, and no one can make it for you. At some point in our lives, we face questions like, what is the purpose of my life? Why am I here in this world? Why do I exist? How do I find meaning for my life? And many others. Saint Augustine said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every human being that only Christ can fill it. Okay? And people try so many different ways to fill that vacuum and find the answers for those questions. In the Bible, we have the example of Solomon that God gives us there. So, he was gifted with absolutely everything a person could possibly have in a lifetime. All the money, all the wisdom, all the power one can imagine. But despite all that, here is how he starts the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he goes on, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. In Solomon's story can be our story. And it is an example to help us to understand how to find or not find meaning for our lives. I'm not using Charles Spurgeon, Brother Richard, but I will use C.S. Lewis now, here in a good quote. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy. The most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Do you agree with that? We're just passing by, right? We're just passing by because God made us for eternity. To me, it's unbelievable to think that people will believe in science and the cool details about one little comet in this vast universe. Which, by the way, they will never be able to confirm or find out if what the scientists are saying about the comet is true. Some people don't even question it. And still, they will harden their hearts and not recognize there is a masterful, supreme Creator God who has put all these astros in place and in perfect motion, who is looking for a personal relationship with His masterpiece, with the masterpiece of His creation. That's you and that's me. And perhaps that's your situation today. You believe that all things evolute to be where they are today. I must say, you have an unbelievable strong faith. Okay? So if you believe that this is all by destiny, yeah, you have more faith than I do. So The Word of God does not learn from science facts. But here, the opposite is truth. Science facts are confirmed by the Word of God. Amen? My prayer is that this message today will trigger you to seek God for the answers you are looking for in your life. That you understand that God has created you for eternity. In His infinite love for you, He gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to reconcile you with Him so you can enjoy the eternal life that He offers Him. And the good news, as most of you guys know, that's totally free. There's no cost. The Bible affirms that it's by grace. And what does grace mean? Christ has paid it all, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. So you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. So no one can boast about it. No one can say, I've been done good, I'm a good person, so I can go to heaven. No, that's not the way that God works. So Christ paid the price. He paid it all to redeem ourselves with God. As you continue with your life, as you still search for answer for all your questions, don't you think it's time for you to give God a try? To stop wonder, to stop looking for meaning of your lives outside of Him? And I want to encourage you to ask for His help. Call out to Him. You have absolutely nothing to lose. And be prepared for the wonderful work He will do in your life. And I know lots of people, perhaps most of the people in the room here, can confirm that. Amen? Right? So, once you experience, once you see it, you cannot unsee it, right? Once you experience God's presence in your life, there's no way that you will fall behind and you let that go, okay? And I want to encourage you, if you want to talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you. So you can talk with any pastors that are helping here at CTC. Please reach out to them or any leader from our church here. And I want to say, if you're listening to this message on our church website, you can reach out via email. But I want to encourage you to look for a local church in your area. I know that Dee has told me that people around the world listen to our services online. So whatever you are, you will listen to me another time. So please reach out to someone and don't miss or delay this opportunity to surrender your life to Christ and experience the wonders that He can do. And as Christians, as we continue to walk our journey of faith, I have another quote from C.S. Lewis, where he says, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if it had not had yet been done. Do you get that? We experience Him today. We need to look for Him to experience Him again tomorrow, and again and again and again. And this will stop only when He calls us to glory. So we must remember that every single day and see and seek God's presence with all that we have, with all who we are. Let's pray. Father God, we praise your name and thank you for this, your precious word. Father God, thank you for loving us the way that you do, Father. And thank you for the amazing way that you have created and set everything in place. Oh, Father God, I pray for those, Lord, who have doubts in their hearts. Father, I pray that they will understand, that they will be willing to give you, God, a try. Father God, that they will reach out to you, Father, because you will not disappoint them. And Father, I pray, if there's anyone, Father, that has questions about you, Lord, that they can reach out. Father God, and would love to help them to get to know you and experience, Lord, a personal relationship with you. Thank you for Cowboy Trail Church, and thank you for the amazing ministry that this church has been done here, Lord, in Cochrane and in the area. We praise your name for the leadership that they have here. We praise your name for all the pastors that are supporting this ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that your word, Lord, will be in the minds of all those that have listened to it tonight, Lord. And you will be challenging and speaking to them according to their needs, Father God, and that you'll be meeting them where they are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.